Brian and Larry in the house today, and joining us on the line, Brett Baer, the anchor of Special Report, heard weekdays at 6 p.m., and Special Report on Sundays now at 8 p.m. I actually tuned in and watched. Great show. Really enjoyed it. And then I guess, you know, Brett, the, you guys are getting ready for your big coverage of the big debate on Monday. You got all kinds of extra coverage planned?
Yes, I do.
All right.
We've got Monday is going to be quite something. I mean, it may be the Super Bowl of politics.
Well, you know, really, I think it is. I've read a couple of stories out there that suggest that this could be a debate that is watched more than any other debate in political history.
Well, I think it's not out of the realm of possibility that more than 100 million people watch.
Wow.
And that's, you know, just judging by the polls, there have been a number of polling organizations who have asked, you know, are you definitely going to watch? And it was up to 73% of respondents. You know, last time the first debate, Mitt Romney and Barack Obama, was about 60 million. So the interest is exponential.
Well, and that means that there's a lot at stake. And this could be a good moment for a candidate, or it could be a disastrous moment. It really is walking a tightrope, isn't it?
It is. And, you know, it's exuding confidence. It is not appearing to go over the line one way or the other. I think, you know, which Donald Trump shows up, which Hillary Clinton shows up to talk to the campaigns. Hillary Clinton's been doing a lot of prep. We don't know who the debate sparring partner is. Rumor was Mark Cuban, but the mock debates were with someone playing Donald Trump. Donald Trump apparently is not doing that, but has done some prep and is spending all day Sunday at Trump Tower dealing with things. I think the question is whether, you know, she tries to run circles around him on policy and, you know, whether he tries to stay above the fray or whether he kind of brings his campaign style to the debate stage.
It's interesting. I went to a gathering last night, the Media Research Center gala, Brett, and it was amazing to me how many people, these are all inside Washington people who work in the media or in some way working in politics, and many of them were saying, yeah, I'm waiting to see what happens at the debate. It's just surprising to me that there are so many voters that do want to make their judgment about these candidates after they see the debate. So given that, do you think that it's substance that makes the most impression on people, or do you think that it's the style, the impression that people get from the candidates?
I mean, I would love in my heart of hearts to believe that substance and policy is what's going to drive it. But, you know, it'll be a moment. It'll be the interaction. It'll be the dynamic and the overall impression, I think. And that is much more subjective. So you look at this debate, and I do think it's crucial, much more than it has been in the past. And you then look at the polls and the swing state polls. A lot of these polls are now within the margin of error. And if you shift a poll in a state 2 to 3 points after a good debate performance, that could turn the electoral map and the path to 270 right around.
It seems that there's so many times in an election year, the things that are going on outside of the election arena do have an impact on it. And no doubt, everybody's been looking at the protest down in North Carolina and the fact that the National Guard's been called in and all of the looting that took place there and, of course, the police shooting that started it all. How does this play out in the political arena? You know, who is likely to, I mean, I hate to say it, will benefit or be hurt by this particular event, do you think?
Yeah, I mean, listen, we always say that we don't want to see the violence,
right?
And it's a horrible thing, and we have to cover it. And we always in Washington look through the prism of politics. But just on that, I think it's a double-edged sword for both campaigns. I do think that the law and order pitch that Donald Trump's been making, you know, hits home with a number of people who say they can't have, you know, rioting and looting on the streets. But then I do think that Hillary Clinton touches a real chord in the African-American community when she talks about, you know, this can no longer happen and it's intolerable. I don't know, you know, how it plays as far as specific states, but if you look at North Carolina, the latest poll, our poll, had Clinton with the black registered voters at 85% and Trump at 3%. You know, he's not moving a lot of numbers in that community with, you know, what he's saying contrasting her.
Meanwhile, Brett, there was news and politics outside of the presidential election, believe it or not, with a couple of interesting hearings this week, and I know that you covered it on Special Report, most specifically with the Commissioner of the IRS, John Koskinen. And I wonder how you think this plays out. I was really surprised to see the Democrats were sort of not going along. It seems pretty easy pickings for a Democrat in an election season to go after the IRS commissioner, considering what how he's performed. And yet they were defending him. That could that be an issue?
Yeah, it could be. You know, and that whole thing about targeting Tea Party groups really still sits in the craw of especially conservatives. But it brings up the whole question of the role of government and big government and oversight. Mm-hmm. I will say that I thought it was interesting that there was a rallying around him. You know, usually IRS commissioners are not sympathetic
right.
figures.
Exactly. But, it's a no-brainer, you would think.
But I think, you know, they managed to not, the Democrats managed to get a deal that he was not going to be impeached.
Okay, so Ted Cruz. I've been saying some fairly nice things about Donald Trump on his Twitter machine, and a lot of Cruz supporters have been worried that he might actually go out and endorse Trump and sort of bury the hatchet. And a lot of people who've supported Ted Cruz are saying, don't do that. So how do you think that's going to play out? I mean, I can see it being a good thing for the party, but maybe a bad thing for Ted Cruz were he to do that.
Yeah, I have a hard time believing that it's going to happen.
Hasn't
happened up until now. He obviously had the chance of a lifetime to do it if he wanted to do it at the convention and made a specific decision there. I think he's saying nice things to kind of get a little bit, you know, not endorsing, but saying, you know, thanks for the help on the internet stuff. Mm-hmm. And I'd be surprised if it's a full-fledged endorsement. That said, I mean, there are others, you know, Jeb Bush and John Kasich, who still are holding the line and saying they're not voting for Donald Trump.
Brett Baer, the Nationals could clinch tonight, the National League East.
Exciting, right?
Will Krauthammer and George Will share their tickets with you?
No.
For the playoffs?
No.
Not a chance.
But I'm going to try to go in between all this travel that we have coming up.
Meanwhile, you try to mention this to Steve Hayes, and all he talks about is the Washington Capitals. He's already pumped up for opening day of the Washington
that
Capitals.
And the Green Bay Packers. But
I think that's a lost cause. All right, Brett, thanks
for joining
us.
Thank you much.
We'll see you.